Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and the Twisted Mr. or Two. It's good to have everyone here, and I hope everyone's having a great week so far. And I hope everyone's recuperating from Christmas. Hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi.
Hello, hello.
How goes it?
Hello.
Tonight?
Good to hear you both.
You're
good
too,
to
Pam.
Be there.
So come on, Naomi, tell us about the prom for tonight.
Oh, yes. Okay. Starting right away. Well, first of all, the song Lollipop, that was recorded in the year 1958, and then it was took over by the Cordettes, which you just heard, at the end of the 1950s, and that's when pop art really took off here in the States. It started in London and Europe a bit before that, but it really took off like in the 1950s and the 1960s, 1970s here in the United States. And the first pop art, well, one of the first works of pop art that is now in the Tate, in the museum, the Tate Modern in London. It was by Eduardo Paolozzi in 1947. And I have that as one of the prompts there. My last prompt was the first one in 1947. And the history. So it was the pop movement, it just exploded. And in Britain in the 1950s, and then it emerged to America like late 1950s, 1960s. And it really took over, like it was new, it was bold. It was inspired by popular culture such as advertising, comic books, and just a celebration of the mundane and the kitsch and the reflection of times, and multiple mass reproduction, the using of new artistic techniques like silk screen printing. And pop art was born out of kind of a rebellion against the dominant movements and approaches to art that came before. So they just wanted to take everything that was just commercial and everyday things, and, you know, like comic books and everything, and just everyday mundane things like the soup Campbell cans there that you see, which was by Andy Warhol, and put it into the art. So I just saw that that first prompt there with the champagne bottle with the pop, and then I said, okay, I'm going to build a, you know, for New Year's Eve, popping of the champagne. So I said, I'm just going to build a contest around this, and that was it. So I went after all these prompts, and I loaded them down. Did I ever? Went a bit overboard. 53 prompts.
Great explanation of the prompt. Oh, that's very cool. Wow. Just like looking here, I didn't realize we had so many audios. Very cool. Well, I want to first, before we go anywhere else, I want to welcome Thomas and Laurent to the board. Hey, guys.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Evening. Fun to have men aboard. Thomas, you can just stay for a little while.
Yeah, probably until about 10:30, 11 o'clock at the latest.
Okay. 10:30 or 11? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll put your piece up in a... I'll get you to read a bit for me. I'll use you a bit, first of all, and then I'll put your piece up.
Okay. Use them up.
Yeah, that's it. So I wanted really to kick off this show with a piece by Kenny W. because he really took the whole concept of the contest and he put it into his poem there, the whole concept of pop art. So I'll put his piece up, and Laurent, if you can give that a read.
All right.
For me?
Yep.
Okay, it's up.
All right, this is called Pop Art Comeback by Kenny W. Paint your pop art with a cartoon soul. Imagine you are like the great Warhol. Free your mind, free your name. Search not for fleeting glimpses of fame. Color your world. Color it bright. Your art should not be black and white. Brighten tin cans, objects, singers of today. Abstract celebration, uniquely seen your way. And your art should be how you see the world. A kaleidoscope of rainbows unfurled. Brightening walls and rooms where it hangs. Gaining instant reaction from every man. And the reaction itself need not be great. That any reaction is good, and you should rate your work as an attack on the bland magic that's emanating from your hand. So be a true original, not a copy or be. Your world is unique, so let them see. And if one day your work is branded by name, then okay, claim your 15 minutes of fame. Paint your pop art with a cartoon soul. Paint like the beginning of rock and roll. Like poetry, with a blank page start, fill the white with blood from your heart. End poem.
Yeah, I thought this was he captured it, the whole movement of pop art so well here. Just in everything englobed in this right. So I thought it was just brilliant. poem to start off the show. And Tom, what did you think of that write?
Well, it's a really sharp capture of the time and the period. I remember when the Marilyn Monroe silk screens were done by Warhol, along with the Campbell's soup cans, which had everybody in a fit. But I remember even more Duchamp's ready-mades, where he hung out the cover to an underwriter's typewriter and took a comb and set it up so all the teeth are pointing upward, and declared it to be art, much mm-hmm. to the chagrin of many other people.
Yeah.
And complaints. But he caught a lot of that whole rebellion of that time period, the idea that somehow we had to redefine everything that was going on around us, make more sense out of it than it had made sense before because of the nuclear bomb, the Iron Curtain, and all that stuff that was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really was a movement that came after the Second World War there, people just had the artists just wanted to redefine, and it was like a rebellion, yeah. And frowned upon by many other artists, you know, of that time, you know. But it was just like an explosion. And Laurent, you're
yes. I enjoyed this quite a bit. I thought that Kenny captured the soul of the movement quite well, I think. I'm not a big admirer of pop art. With very few exceptions, I find a lot of it very facile. The things that I mm-hmm. do really like, the Marilyn Monroe, I think, they're quite good. The Campbell's soup can was kind of a laugh at society, I thought. So it's definitely an iconic image, but so much other things. I just kind of imitated the movement of pop art without being very good, and I'm sure I'm very wrong about that. It was just my impression at the time. I was always a big fan of comic book art, always. And I saw a lot of the comic book art. It's very poor, you know. But we're talking about the poem, and the poem works really well.
Yeah, like you said, the image of Marilyn Monroe, Andy Warhol, he did Marilyn Monroe, and he did a lot of other cult, the celebrities of the time. And he showed the darker side of fame that lurked behind the glossy exterior in his paintings there. So, he was known, Marilyn Monroe is one of his famous ones. I had it up to in the prompts. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is an excellent write. I like the line, paint your pop art with a cartoon soul. I feel like there's kind of an idea of having that childlike soul, that childlike innocence of, not... wanting to, meet other people's expectations of art, but just rather just have fun. I like that this works really well as a tribute to pop art, a celebration of pop art. I like that he threw in there the claim your 15 minutes of fame line as a nod to Andy Warhol and his quote. And I also really like where it says, so be a true original, not a copier. Be your world is unique, so let them see. Everybody has a unique mind, a unique way of seeing the world, and it's up to the artist or the poet to show that to other people. And so excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. And Jean, your thoughts?
Yes, ma'am. Christ, now she wants thoughts from me, everybody. Did you hear that? I thought this was really a great write and an excellent reflection of the prompt as well. You know, it's pretty easy to just envision the whole contest, you know, with this, and I'm sure that's what you meant, Naomi. But I thought the last stanza, I kind of like that one. They were all good, but I like the way he wrapped this up, you know, paint your pop art with a cartoon soul, paint like the beginning of rock and rolls, like poetry with a blank page to start, fill the white with the blood from your heart, because all of our art comes from, you know, deep inside of us, you know, at least I think so. So I think that was really a great way to tie it up. Nice job, Kim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I really like this write, so bravo, Ken. From art, we're going to go, well, he mentioned rock and roll a bit, so we're going to go to pop music, because I put in a few quotes from some pop artists, pop artist singers, and so I'm going to put up the one by Adrian, he has an amazing one. Tom, would you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. Music Touches, Music Heals by Adrian 41062. It's amazing how music takes us back to every hurt and joy through life. Like a time machine to a second, pinpoint good times as a cutting knife. Lose yourself in music for a while, a song to take us to every age, songs that help us through every breakup, poignant moments on life's stage. Words that heal, tones that speak, every memory we hold in our mind, emotions dancing, hope ignited, power that touches all mankind. Songs along, spirits lifted, moments you sing your favorite song, every word we've listened to will touch our hearts all life long.
Oh, that was amazing read, Tom. Yeah, I really like this piece. So it's so true. We all have that one song or, you know, those songs that we all, when they start playing, we just go back to that time. They either maybe they hurt, make us hurt a little bit, or they make us heal a little bit, or they just draw out the emotion. And I just found it amazing, the first stanza, how he just dived into, you know, the theme there. And like a time machine to a second, pinpoint good times as a cutting knife. I found that was cutting knife. That was, you know, just that raw imagery there was so powerful. So I loved this right throughout. And Pam, what did you think of this amazing write?
Yeah, this was a great write all the way through. I do have to say, though, the third stanza was particularly my favorite, where it speaks on like the lyrics that heal, the tone that speaks, emotion dancing, hope ignited, power that touches all mankind. Because I think music does tend to be a universal language that really helps to heal people and to bring them joy. I think that third stanza touches on that very well. So excellent write and very well done.
Okay, and Laura? Is Laura on
mute? Yeah, you'd think I'd know by now, wouldn't you?
Nah.
It's the immediacy of the moment that grips you. You don't pay attention to anything else. You just start babbling. I'm right with Pam. I thought the third stanza was excellent. I mean, the whole thing is well written, well rhymed. But what I like about the third stanza are the subtleties. It references words that heal, the tones, the memories, the dancing emotions, hope, which gives us all power. He wrapped up so much in that third stanza but he definitely interpreted Elton John's quote on music very, very well and gave us a broader look at exactly what Elton was saying. Excellent piece.
Tom, what did you think?
Well, I think he did an excellent job of striking right to the heart of how much music is woven into our lives. I know for myself, when I had amnesia, going back and listening to all the songs just had me erupt with memories in places where I didn't even know that I had a memory attached. He really catches well just how much we've woven it into our lives and let it speak to us, for us, and in ways that perhaps we don't even recognize. Excellent piece. I really liked the, like everybody's comment on the third verse, but I liked also how he ended the piece with recognizing that we sing along because it opens us up and lets our heart be touched and shared. Very well done.
Yeah. Amazing comment. And Jean?
Well, I thought this was really well done. I went to grab a stanza to comment on, and I kind of laughed because I really could not pull one because I felt like I was, like, kind of taking things apart as if I were to do that. I think that it was really done well. And I thought that each stanza really played into the next so well. So, great job. Nice work, Adrian.
Indeed, yes. It's like he was composing kind of like a song there. I understand what you're saying, Gene. And wonderful work there, Adrian. And amazing comments, everybody. And I'm going to put the next write up, and if Pam could, we're going to go to Champagne, if Pam could read that for us.
All right. This is 1,000 Champagne Cork, or I guess it doesn't say 1,000. Okay, Champagne Cork Pops by Ricky Rhymes, and it goes like this. Champagne Cork Pops, cue orchestras, trumpets, saxophones, and tubas, like stirring of leaves in the breeze, rousing silk blouses in a sneeze. Champagne cork pops, cue orchestras, tenor drums, cymbals, harps, and violas. Crackling, fizzling wine is pouring, and glasses swishing like a sword. Champagne cork pops, paint a portrait, canvas, easel, oils, and palette. All are as still as church mouse, but loud like an opera house. Champagne cork pops paint a landscape, oil-hued dip brushes of seascape, stroking ships on a wavy ocean, a sunrise on the horizon. Champagne cues choreography, mapping, plotting as a chauffeur, how autos cross paths and tangles, wearing pajamas with tangles. Champagne cues choreographer, curtains move like the monsieur, actors and dancers on the stage, steps and voices echo backstage. And poem.
And this is just brilliant how he captured the art here of and just breathed like emotion throughout the just taking the popping of the bottle, and he created this whole piece out of it. It's just so cleverly crafted. Each line just makes the reader's eyes, I think, made my eyes dance and just, you know, be a little drunk there on the champagne, the way he went down this. It was just so brilliantly written. Laurent, I'm sure you're just squealing to comment on this one. Is he on mute?
No, I'm actually
no,
not.
No, okay.
this is not a bad image insofar as pop art images go. But if I stick to the champagne being opened and then carefully consider the poem, I thought that his take on it was so clever and skillful. not obvious, but once he's got it down and printed, it's kind of obvious, but it always after the fact, which means that it's rather subtle. But I like the way how the first two lines of the first line of each two stanzas is basically the same. Cues orchestras, paints a portrait, paints a landscape, cues choreographer. The pop and the fizz of the champagne bottle being opened is such an iconic symbol. And it can cue an orchestra. It can cue a moment. It can cue a moment of celebration. It can celebrate what has just occurred. So it's got a strong sensibility insofar as that's concerned, but then he adds so much more to it. And I thought that was really nice.
Indeed, yes. And Jean, what did you think?
Well, I have to be honest that I had to step away during the read. But from what I'm seeing here, you know, the champagne is quite I think it's well presented here because it usually signifies some kind of a celebration or a moment, you know, in someone's life or a week or time, however you want to, you know, look at it. It could be just celebrating today, and it could be celebrating 10, 20, 30 years. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I think it was well, and I think it was clever. So, nicely done. And each stanza, I thought, was a standalone representation. So, nice work.
Yeah. And Tom?
I like the way he uses that first line to create almost a strobic effect or like a stereograph with the way the pictures flicker past the window. He makes the just the sound, champagne cork pops, champagne cues. It makes you stop, and then he gives you the image, and so it has sort of a freeze frame effect, which is really kind of a neat dynamic to have in a poem, and gives you all these wonderful things. In the second, subtly dropped in on the last two lines of each verse, like, all are as still as church mouse, but loud like an opera house. Or stroking ships on a wavy ocean, a sunrise on the horizon. So you have both the pop, the excitement, and then these subtle little gifts of understanding and imagery. A really beautifully done piece. I really like the way he put together as well as what he had to say.
And Pam, you read that so wonderfully. What did you think?
Yeah, I really liked that this poem was a celebration of art and life in general. And I like that he repeatedly used the champagne in the beginning of each stanza. And to use the idea of the champagne cork popping as a representation for all those moments in life that are worth celebrating. So it's just a really great write and very well done.
Indeed. Yeah, I loved the way he composed this. I thought it was just brilliant. So good work, Ricky, and hope you write often for our shows because it was just a delightful write, this. I just, delight for the eyes. And Tom, I have your piece up. So if you want to give us a read.
Okay. This is the 50s, Unliberated. What are dreams if they carve away possibility? The promise of happiness. Society drives home its promise without regard for damage done to those who wish to live differently. Happiness, by its definition, creates a false reality where a woman's strength is beaten daily by the promise that others' happiness will secure hers. Art cannot wait to be scheduled. It demands release whenever the mood strikes. Not the roast is done, the husband pleased, and the children stop dreaming. crying for things without names, draining mom of all her energy before midnight strikes. Nothing is done. Candles like snowballs. Oh, Joanne, how did you? Flower arrangements for June's wedding. I will never be able to repay you. The spring dance, the decorations were amazing. She was the one who stayed up all night for how many nights? It was never a question. There was never a doubt. She'd get it done. The hysteria, the breakdown, vacations in the hospital, only the weakness of a woman. She cried to sleep for want of love. She never stopped making others happy. It was always so easy. At least she made it appear that way. Dead by 50. Cancer, they say. End poem.
Yeah, this that was an amazing, amazing read, Tom, and an amazing write. And I thought this write was had such a personal, powerful emotion all through it, and it really depicted vividly the reality of women still today. Sometimes, you know, you're always more happy. I think you're more you live your life trying to make others happy, and you forget yourself in the process a lot. You know, women do, and of course we can't neglect men. There's a lot of men that do that too. There, but yeah, you captured the reality of women here so amazingly. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful write, great read. I really like how you bring us into a look at a woman who gives so much of her time and her talent. This is a wonderful write all the way through, but those middle stanzas, the second, third ones that especially stand out to me, as you know, you show us the reality of what drains a mom, the crying, the screaming, you know, trying to get everything done before midnight strikes. And then the, you know, the praise and how, you know, up front in front of, you know, friends and family and when, you know, contributing to get-togethers, you know, she all looks put together. And then there's, you know, the hysteria, the nervous breakdowns that eventually come because too much of a burden weighs on her shoulders. You know, just really a strong write and very well done.
And Laurent?
Yeah, it's always a little difficult for me to comment on poems that are intensely personal, like this one is, because you're dealing with a family member's perception of what happened, and then I'm dealing with the words that are written that are perhaps open to interpretation. I'm not sure. I've met many people like this in life, and the ones who are not above sticking out their little acre of happiness are the ones who set up a small business. Well, of course, I'll be happy to do that for you. Here's my fee schedule, and then you go from there. I'm being a little flip here, and I apologize for that, because you were there, you were a child, you saw what happened, and it must have hurt you deeply. And I'm just so sad that a talent like that was used up so quickly and that she passed from us as quickly as she did. She deserved better, a lot better. Excellent piece, my friend.
Yeah. And Jean?
You know, I thought that this was a great reflection of that prompt that you put at the top, Tom. I think it really was a great reflection of that. And very well expressed, and the emotions were conveyed really nicely throughout the whole piece. So, great work.
And Tom, I'd like you to comment on your own poem, because you wrote that it was a personal piece to you, so I'd like you to talk to us a bit about it.
Well, you know, I always jokingly say that I was always a women's liver, because I watched my mother create just incredibly beautiful things, whether it was she and my father running off to Allen Berry Little Theater and making all the props and plats for a play, or her stirring wax up in the kitchen and creating snowballs and going, I just love the fact that my teacups are just the right size for half the globe, you know, and popping it all together, and people just going, how in the world do you do all this? And she did say that, you know, the nice thing about a nervous breakdown was you got to take a 4 or 5 day vacation in the hospital. It never seemed to, the thing that drove me crazy, I think, is that she never realized her own gifts and how much she deserved a whole lot more appreciation and respect for all the things that she created. She was much more concerned about making other people happy than she was about her own happiness. And sometimes it was frustrating, like when she was making sure she put all of us into a Quaker boarding school because she had gone to it and thought we all should go to it. And I watched a mail teller make more than someone who'd worked for the bank for 8 years and was a in charge of the loan department, because she was a male and she was a female. The unfairness of things like that just drove me out of my mind. And she'd never protest. She'd never complain. It just had me horrified at times. She did. She actually died at 56. But I just always was, you know, frustrated by my own mother, because it was like the incredible artist that she was never got to take a bow, because that would just be too much pride.
Yeah, I'm sorry for your loss, Tom. And this is a very emotional write, and we feel it. And just a brilliant, brilliantly written too. Jean, are you up for a read?
Sure thing. You betcha.
Okay, I have Mamia's on the board.
Okay. Okay, just wanted to peek at that real quick. Okay, let me make it just a little larger for my old eyes. This is called Fade to Black by Mamia. My colors fade. They vanish into thin air, getting whitewashed, fading, fading, gone. I add pitch into the hue in an attempt to grasp the rainbow in my hand. With the pitch surrounding them, they become bolder, deeper, darker, slowly turning to black. The palette burns, turning to charcoal, and still I fan the flames. Better this burning heat than the shivering cold of fading away. End poem.
And that was an amazing read, Jean. And she wrote to the prompt, without black, no color has any depth. And I think she caught that prompt so amazingly. The idea of trying to grasp a rainbow to end up holding on to only black is such an amazing, powerful image. And that last stanza, oh my gracious, so well worded. Your thoughts on it, Laurent?
Yes, can you come right back to me, please?
Yeah, I will. Tom?
Yeah, well, you know, they say that white is the reflection of all color, and black is the absorption of all color. And she speaks so well to the ways in which colors fade, disappear, gather together and become black. But at the same time, how much we seek them out so that with the pitch surrounding them become bolder, deeper, darker, slowly turning to black, the palate burns, turning to charcoal, and still I fan the flames. Better this burning heat than the shivering cold of fading away. Yeah, there's different kinds of black. She catches that really nicely. The black of shadows, the black of coal and pitch, the black of heat, and the black of shivering night. A very intense, a very sharp vision of black.
And Pam?
Yeah, this is a wonderful emotive write. I like how it's the idea about no matter how much color you attempt to put in life, it turns back into a darkness. It has that kind of feel of going through depression. I like it that the ending is all the way through, but the ending is particularly strong with the opening line of the palate burns turning to charcoal and still I fan the flames. I like that idea of, you know, just the idea of fanning the flames, because it's better to be in that heat than to be cold and fading away. The idea that any type of emotion is better than no emotion at all. So, excellent write and very well done.
And Jean, what did you think?
I think that Mamia really nailed the prompt.
Yeah.
It was definitely well done. And I wasn't real sure what the prompt was until I got to the end, and all of a sudden it's like, okay. It made perfect sense. And it was really just really nicely written. And good night, Tom.
Oh, good night, Tom. And Laura, are you ready to comment?
Yes. This poem is really a beautiful understanding of black and its interaction with color. Each needing the other, really. For instance, your printer draws on color to print black. It doesn't print just from black ink. A painter will apply a black undercoating to a painting in order to make the colors pop. And then, of course, you have the color of emotions. So I like her very short lines. They carry impact, and they straddle the color of emotion as well as the color of the physical. Excellent piece.
I so agree with all your comments. This was such an amazing, powerful, emotive write here. And bravo, Mamia, for that. We're going to go with a little fun. Do you want to read a little fun, Laurent?
A little funny poem. I'm going to read.
By,
you want to grab this or not?
I think it's Scott Sharp, S. Sharp. Yeah, he took the little prompt I put up with pop art with the cat on the couch there. So this is called The Cat's Game, if you want to give it a read, Laura.
Certainly. The Cat's Game by S. Sharp. There I was, all comfy in our soft little couch, in our warm little home, just waiting for the fight to begin. I had waited for months for this fight, because if the champion, Al D. Dang, was taking on the challenger, you'll see stars for the overweight championship of the world. This would certainly be the fight of the century. Stars was a bruiser, a brawler, but Dang was just that. If anyone thought they were going to take his championship away from him. Just then, the announcer was coming to the close of the introductions of the fighters. So I decided to make a real quick run to the kitchen, get myself a snack of crackers and a soda pop. At nothing less than full speed, I went barreling towards the kitchen in pursuit of some refreshments, only to trip over the cat, who simply looked back at me as if to say, "Why don't you look where you're going, stupid?" And then he calmly trotted off to get himself a bite to eat. I tried to ignore the burning sensation I felt on my chin and the apparent smoke rising off of my face from the carpet burn I had gotten, and continued on my way to the kitchen. As the first step landed in the kitchen, I knew that something was wrong. When my foot hit the cat dish, it began to slide along the linoleum floor, turning 360s, almost like it was in slow motion. I saw the wall, the sink, the refrigerator, the kitchen table, the wall again, the sink again, the refrigerator again, the kitchen table again, and finally the wall, so unforgiving as it was approaching me. And then smack, face first, I hit the wall, and subsequently the floor. I lay there, motionless, moaning and groaning for what seemed like 10 minutes, but finally felt capable of prying myself up off the cold and now cat food covered floor. Groggy, I wiped the cat food from my eye, only to notice the cat staring at me with what appeared to be a knowing grin on his face. And that is when I thought I heard him laugh. Yes, the fight had definitely begun. On television, it might have been damned and stars, but here, a certain little kitty was about to be exterminated. My mother had named him Cupid, and about this time, I had every intention of putting an arrow through him. The fight on the television was already about 3 rounds old, and I hadn't even seen a single punch of it. However, I had accomplished something. I had the cat trapped in the corner of the kitchen. It was like one of those Old West showdowns, high noon in the center of town. And I gave him the evil eye, and he sent it back to me. One of us wasn't going to walk away from this alive. That's when I noticed the broom leaning against the counter, and I decided to pick it up for the extra excitement it seemed to bring to the game. That's when it happened. Sensing that I meant business, the cat jumped up on the counter, and like a skydiver, he leapt perilously across the room onto the kitchen table, knocking my mother's favorite vase off and breaking it. He then bounded off the table and out of the kitchen. More worried about the vase than the cat, I began to clean it up, and as fate would have it, just as I was getting it all cleaned up, my mom walked into the room. She looked at me, and the vase, and then at the broom that was in my hand. Without warning, she snatched the broom from my hands and proceeded to chase me around the house, clobbering me with it. I just don't understand why these things always seem to happen to me. I just started out wanting to watch a fight on television, but instead, I ended up playing the cat's game. Still running, I looked back only to see the cat laying on the couch, smiling and enjoying the fight. End thought.
Yeah, I just laughed when I read this. the whole right, like, darn cat. And it was composed so brilliantly. And I could just see the whole scene, like, unfold before my eyes as I read it. And then I imagined that, you know, seeing the cat there sprawled out, all contented on the couch, you know, just, like, laughing at him. So, yeah, great little ride here, Scott. And Pam, what did you think?
Naomi, she did say be right back. I'm just not sure if she is or not.
Oh, okay. Well, Jean, then.
Yeah. I thought this was a great write.
Mm-hmm.
it, a lot to it. There's a lot of story to it, and I thought it was fun. Well, it was fun. It was not fun, but, you know, I thought that it was well presented. And I wasn't sure what the prompt was, so I had to go over and look. I just kind of laughed because, you know, the cat and the dog had the smile on their face, like, yeah, here we are. So, yeah, I think that it was a good take on that. And, yeah, it was a funny story. It really was. I wasn't sure where it was going at first because right up in the beginning when it started with the names of the fellas in the fight, I thought, oh, this is going to be something else, you know, because the names he chose were really creative and fun. So, yeah, so nice job there as Sharp. Really enjoyed the piece very much.
And, Laura, are those real fighters, those names? I don't know. I don't listen to overweight championships.
It just plays on words.
Okay.
You know, I'll be danged.
You'll see stars. Oh, yeah. I didn't even catch that. I just caught it. I'll be danged. You'll see stars. I just got that off. Dummy. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
for instance,
you could talk about an Arabian bandit whose name is Hassan bin Jailed. It looks very Arabic, but you know, I think it's the same play on words. The Cat's Game, by which cats are a little more scrutable than inscrutable, but yeah, I've had some very strange occurrences with cats, and they're always lurking on the periphery. You can assign blame if you want. More often than not, it's our own haste at trying to get a snack of crackers and soda pop as a typical thing that gives us problems. I mean, you know, if you're going to make a fool out of yourself and the cat's looking at you with that air like stupid shit, well, then you may want to take your irritation out on the cat. Either way, very humorous, well-written, and the narrative is interesting. And since he uses the word experience in categories, I'll take it that this was, poetic license aside, a real story. Nicely done.
Yeah, it made me think of a little bit of my cat. During the holidays here, I had my daughter was over with her family, and they have this little dog there. And that cat, you know, we were worried about the cat being, you know, scared of the dog, but no way. She just stood there as if staring at him, as if, you know, come on if you dare. I'll just scratch your eyes out. You know, the cats have this way about them. Yeah, so, and is Pam back?
Yes, ma'am.
Pam's back?
What?
What did you think? Did you get the poem, Pam?
And she's gone again.
Oops. Okay. Well, I'll just put up another one here. Cal couldn't phone in tonight. She's dealing with a real bad cold, so... If you're listening, Cal, I hope you get rested up and you feel better soon. There's quite a few that are dealing with these colds these days. So, Pandora's Music Box. And if, Jean, if you can give that a read for us.
Sure thing. Okay, this is Pandora's Music Box by Kel Smiles. Turn it on, tune it up, play it loud, strut the stuff. Hip the hop, hip hop sounds, bring it down, swing around. R&B has a beat, deep and sweet, heart to heart, glory in the art. Country grown, western sewn, cowboy lovers, emotions lower. Operatic in arias, Italians high terror. Notes flying wings, angels shrilly sing. Philharmonic brass, orchestra of classical. Drums, strings bring, woodwinds lightning. Jazz has the bones, saxes and trombone, tapping timely toes, brassy music floats. Guitars string sousas, swinging the flamenco, skirts flinging tangos, dancing feet mingled. Reggae or big band, little clapping hands, gospel voices praising, polka has rafters raising. Swing your partner, do-si-do, a quartet barber, folks with lots of tunes, some have the blues. Singing, dancing, music, anyway, we chose it. We choose it. Playing a smiling tape, tears flow down faces. Music has the best beat, calming savage beast. Release emotions, breast. Pick which suits you best. End poem.
Oh, that was an excellent, excellent read there, Gene. You really brought out the musicality in this piece and the little the flow so well. Bravo. And I just love this writer. She just took everything. Like, I wanted to drum to it, play guitar, rap to parts of it. I thought it was so absolutely brilliantly composed. And how she incorporated all kinds of different styles of music in that piece, like from hip-hop to jazz. She went from, from classical to... She opera and she country, even western, R&B. She just went all the way down, and the way she just composed the whole thing was just brilliant. Just a brilliant write, Cal. And Laurent, what did you think?
Well, any poem that deals with music should have a good strong beat. This poem has that good strong beat, based largely on three-word lines. R&B has a beat, deep and sweet, heart, glory in the art. And all on down through, you have that same kind of rhythm. And she visits every type of music and then adds a little extra to it, tapping timely toes, brassy music flows. It's rhymed, it's got the beat, it's an inventive, creative work on music, and I like it.
Yeah. And Jean?
I really liked the write. It kept you engaged when you're reading each one of the stanzas that Cal had come up with. And I thought it was really well done. I'm not familiar with the prompt, which prompt she chose. I'd be lying if I said I knew.
She has it there. It's the Elton John one.
John one? There you go. Silly me. I didn't even read it. I just went right into the poem. That's awful. I thought it was creative, and I thought it was really well written. So nice work, Kel. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah. And is Pam back?
What? Pam Ray.
I am, yes.
Did you get the last read, Pam?
Oh, yes. I really liked it, how she paid tribute to a variety of music throughout history with short, impactful lines that had a nice flow and a nice beat to them. So very well done.
Oh, yes, indeed. And get better soon, Cal, if you're listening.
So
I'm going to put up a SoundCloud next. I'll put up a Frank SoundCloud. So there we go. It's
right.
Up. Yeah, it's
okay,
up.
Mi amor. I can clearly see the white domes hovering above the ancient tower. As the morning rays thus sprinkle a tangerine, refulgent sunshine over the flowing waters of a river, and the metals are pretty flowers blossoming within the fresh buds and the petals of the countryside. I listen to the sweet sound of the harmonies of the orchestra birds singing the songs of praise, awakening the dormant ones of Mother Nature. I look for you amidst the rows of the orange trees, past the cobblestones, searching for that indelible glimpse of your celestial smile I seem to miss. I yearn to see the twinkle in your eyes like a shining star with horns, touch the softness of your lips in the silky fibers of your onyx hair, reach the cosmos with the splendid glow of the penetrating moonlight, plunge into the Mediterranean Sea with the passion of your kisses. I want to dance with you tonight above the drifting clouds amassed, dance in the soothing ripples of the rain and submerge myself in the moist bubbles forming into the splash of the falling raindrops, hand to hand and cheek to cheek with you in the streets of Cordoba. I know you are watching me from behind one of those orange trees, just wondering if I would ever return to be with you in our special place, if I would ever dare to seek you in the secrets of the courtyard by its fountain. But if you need to know, then know I shall always come back to find you. Everything has its beauty, but not everyone sees it. For you are my beauty, the scent of my jasmine. Oh, everything has its beauty, but not everyone sees it. For you are my beauty, the scent of my jasmine. In the poem.
I just thought he just had beautiful imagery throughout this rite. It's so soft and tender, and you bathe in every line, warm and enchanting, and it's brilliant the way he weaved in nature throughout, put in awesome colors and descriptive words. And I think this one is my favorite rites from Frank, one of them that I've read so far. I just love a tangerine, refulgent sunshine over the flowing waters of a river, and the way he brings in the meadow, the flowers, the blossoming buds and the petals, and then he goes into the harmonies of the orchestra of birds. And at the end there, those last lines, for you are my beauty, the scent of my jasmine. I thought that was beautiful there too. Pam, what did you think of this rite?
Yeah, it's really nice, beautiful imagery all the way through. I like that he brings in not only the imagery of the flowers and the buds, petals, the courtside, but the sound of the birds, the harmonies of the orchestra of birds was a wonderful line, as well as singing the songs of praise, awakening the dormant ones of Mother Nature. I like how there's that imagery of the spring awakening, and then the imagery of glow of the penetrating moonlight plunge into the Mediterranean Sea. It's a beautiful romantic rite that particularly has a very epic feel to it. And in the lines where it mentions, you know, I know you're watching me from behind those orange trees, just wondering if I would ever return to be with you in our special place. So it's not just about love, but about a love that has been separated and now has the opportunity to be back together. So I feel like that kind of gives that a really nice romantic epic feel, and so very well done.
Mm-hmm. Awesome comment, Pam. I agree so much. And Laurent, what did you think of Frank's Right? Laurent, are you on mute?
For the second time tonight, I am guilty. like you, I really appreciated the first stanza. There's something about his phrasing, as the morning rays shall sprinkle a tangerine refulgent sunshine over the flowing waters of a river and the meadows of pretty flowers blossoming within the fresh buds and the petals of the countryside. And each stanza does that. It paints a picture of the surroundings, focusing on certain aspects of the nature, on certain aspects of her appearance, and his own emotions. I want to dance with you tonight above the drifting clouds of mass. As usual in this, he shows a facility with a romantic poem, a genre that I really think he has mastered, because he grasps mm-hmm. the essentials of what a poem like that requires. And I thought he did a great job with that.
Oh, indeed. I agree. And Jean?
Okay. Well, I thought this was a very well done piece, and I thought it was a great take on the chosen prompt. I really enjoyed it, and as always, the audio was really really well done. Now, just so you know, I picked up Martha Gettle while we were.
Oh, hello, Martha.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing good.
Good. So glad to have you. Did you hear the last poem?
No, I got cut off and had to call back again.
Okay. Well, you know what, Martha? You're here just in time because I'm going to get you to read the next one for us by Linda all the way from Australia.
Here it is. Okay, just a second. Seismic by Linda. My legs extend, bare and pale branches, spouting from my body, firm sinew branches that I run my hands over, feeling all the little bumps and tags my fingertips imagine nest upon my skin. My toenails gleam like shiny beads. I notice that the sun has left the mark of thong straps, skinny V-shaped white, where I forgot to slip, slop, slap. I pull up my skirt, rest its hem against my waterline, a silent space of heat that speaks all language, makes ignored demands, grows wild its garden, while I wonder how this strong and lucid valley, made of oily flesh, holds back its tide, which ebbs and flows, not at the whim of the curio moon or pull of sun. I am the earth that opens up, cracks and spills from friction on my edges. I shake with energy contained deep within my crust. I am a vein of rock, will stir from just one inch, sift and shiver. Tectonic plates are alive with molten pressure valves, release to shudder, gasp, and die. IMB 221 copper, end of poem.
Yeah, this was a great write, a very sensual write by Linda. She and a unique take on that picture that she chose there. It was a girl, an image of a girl, like a little bit, kind of like had a kind of sexy vibe to her. And I love the lines, while I wonder how the strong and muscid valley made of only flesh holds back its tide, which ebbs and flows, not at the whim of a curio moon or pull of sun. And, yeah, this was just brilliantly composed all through. It just unique and amazing take on the on that picture there. And the ending stanza, the way she finished it off, was just amazing. Laurent, what did you think of this, right?
Yeah, that's a dangerous question at this point. I think it's an absolutely brilliant work. Linda has explored the space, emotional, physical, etc., that rests within a woman with skill and adroitness. And the metaphors that she uses do not conceal the sheer sensuality of this poem. I mean, if you look at it, the way she wrote it, the structure that she used, the examination of her body initially, comparing her legs to branches, sinewed branches, feeling the little bumps and tags, and the toenails gleaming like shiny beads, the thong straps, skinny V-shaped, where I forgot to slip, slop, slap. And then to move into the second stanza when she raises her skirt against the waterline and begins to speak of a silent space of heat that makes ignored, that speaks all languages, making ignored demands. I mean, as you read that, if you can't smile and feel a chill go off your back, and at the sheer skill with which she did that, and the perfect choice of words all the way through, well, I just don't know. This is outstanding.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, it's so, this is creativity right here, and originality. I mean, it's so well, it just breathes like sensuality all through this. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, it was a wonderful sensual rite with the great imagery all the way through. And that was very well done.
And Jean?
Right. I thought that it had a great, well, there's no lesser more, great touch of sensuality to it. And I thought it totally suited the prompt. And I enjoyed it very much. Very well done. Thanks, Linda.
Yeah. I wish, I'm trying to get her to phone in or send a SoundCloud. I'd love to hear her voice. She's so, such a fun person. I just love her, and I'm so talented when she writes. I mean, this is just amazing. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was a great write. I like the way it compared the human body to nature and drew all the correlations. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, where we go next? Let's put in a little bit of Rick. We'll go back to the champagne. How do you say that in English? Pronunciation, champagne.
Champagne.
We say it the same way, like you're saying it.
Like in French, it's champagne. Is that it, champagne?
Champagne, yes. I mean, maybe a slightly different accent,
champagne?
But it's...
Wow,
yes.
There's a difference between ain and ein.
Champagne.
Well,
so I
sounds
it
close
in
enough to me.
you can understand at least. Okay, and Pam, would you give this a read for us? Cork Wine.
All right, this is Cork Wine by Rick Six, and it goes like this. 2-year-old bottle of Cabernet forgotten in the pantry, not much of a drinker, got it out for Turkey Day. Cork snapped off in the bottle, pushed it down into the wine with a shish kebab skewer, strained out cork bits with a spaghetti blender, drank a water glass and a half myself, It helps with those large gatherings. Only three of us braved the cork wine, me, Peter Tork, and a wildly feathered Bjork, and P.T. died last year. No more monkeying around. End poem.
Yeah, the reference there to the monkeys, the band. I just love this little brevity. I thought it flowed so perfectly. And, you know, the monkeys were a pop band. And this was such a clever write here. And this happened to me more than once. You know, you try to get the cork out and it just slips into the bottle. Instead of popping out, it pops in. So, Jean, what did you think of this write?
It's a really great movie. It was clever. It was, you know, it was somewhat comical because I think most everybody's had to deal with a cork here and there. It just didn't go the way it was supposed to. You know, I like the touch of the spaghetti. I thought that was a little comical. Monkey's reference at the bottom, well, you know, I'll go with it. Yeah, it was funny. I don't know. It was a great piece. So thank you, Rick, for sharing that with us. Thank you.
I love that.
Yeah, against all odds, you got three musicians who, let's put it this way, no one ever did more with less, and they actually became quite adept at it, so kudos to them for what they did, becoming a pop icon, and delivered at the rear end of a very relatable wine and cork experience, something I think most of us have had to endure. Clever and funny.
Yeah, very brilliant. I found too clever, like you said, witty. And did I ask you, Pam, for a comment?
No, I didn't comment
yet.
Okay. Yeah, I thought this was a fun brevity all the way through, very relatable, as you know, we've all had that experience with the cork. And you know, a great humorous approach. I like that he says only three of us brave the cork wine, me, Peter Tork, and a wildly feathered Bjork. So given the whole idea that basically he drank it himself, because obviously he must have been listening to music, seeing as they are both musicians. You know, just really fun and clever and very well done.
Indeed. And Martha?
I thought it was a fun novel ride. I really enjoyed it.
It was. Okay, I'm going to put up one by Daniel Deschino. Laurent, if you would read that for us, please. I'm just going to pop it in here.
Okay,
I have it in.
This is called I, the Painting. By Daniel Deschino. A piece that doesn't quite fit in this puzzling world in which I wander. I avoid the crowds to where I do not belong, off the beaten path, yet still I feel beaten, as memory serves the whimsy of pain for all eternity. So strange, sometimes I find it all, more comfort I find in books of lore. Unique, I know each person is, and oh, how some days I feel that pain. Alone, I sit in darkened rooms. Alone, I walk on crowded streets. I conform, but only when formless. My normal state is just to be me, with no statement meant to be made. I am me. No matter how hard I try not to be, as a painting cannot control the artist's hand. So, among admired beauty, gallery of conformity, I hang as an exposed portrait, naked in the eyes of the judging masses as they pass from room to room with focused, educated spectacles. And I alone feel the brushstrokes on my canvas that lay the foundation of which the visible shines, and I long for rotation the basement archives. And poem.
And I'd like to have the first comment from Pam on this.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful emotive write on, you know, taking time to look back on the memories that we often keep stored in the attic or in the basement. Really intriguing lines all the way through and very well done.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a deep, thought-provoking piece on art, which also can be a reflection on us as individuals, I feel. We are too often judged on appearance only. And, this is very deep and brilliant, right? Like Daniel can do it. Every time, I'm just so amazed every time with his writing. He's just so talented. And Laurent, just dive in to this write.
Well, this is an imaginative and fanciful personification of a painting whose only job is to hang on a wall and be observed. After a while, if we can imagine ourselves as the painting, to have to sit there mute and be observed and commented on by everyone who comes around, some good comments, some bad, some ignoring you completely, like you were just a thing, inanimate. We can make that leap from a dead, mute object to how a human being might feel in the same situation. From my point of view, I thought this is very clever and very worthwhile.
Yeah, it's an amazing, brilliant take on that prompt there. Art doesn't transform, it just plain forms. Boy, by a famous pop artist, Roy Lichtenstein. And Jean, what did you think?
Well, you know, Dan has such a way with his writing. I was looking at the picture, figure what I wanted to reach for, you know, for a comment. Really think that they're all really well done. And I would have to pick up like three canvases to put down what I want, you know, because it's so strange. Sometimes I find it all more comfort, I find for. I know each person is. I know how some days I feel the same. Alone I sit in darkened rooms. Alone I walk. I walk on crowded street. But that led me right into the next stanza. I mean, like it all is well done. It's well expressed. And, you know, that's what I like the best about it. You know, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it just... I don't want to pick up all those lines and you go, oh, yeah. We all think I'm crazy. We drop a net over me. But I have a hard time pulling things out, you know, because I feel that if they're in context, they should stay that way. But great job, Daniel, really. Very nicely done.
Indeed. And Martha?
Well, no, Martha dropped.
We lost Martha. I was going to put up her piece next. I'll wait. Maybe she'll try and phone back. We can put up the SoundCloud by Phil. Phil's SoundCloud. I'm just going to drop it in. There we go. It's in.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Spray Can Love Song. Writing my feelings of love for you on a back alley wall. Fluorescent green princess inspired me to proclaim it all. Reading urban poetry somewhere in metropolis. A perfect quote under a neon sky written by an anonymous. Fame fades like a used spray can lying in the gutter. For 15 minutes we just stare and mutter. Some crazy nonsense, promises engraved in brick. Beating a dead horse with a weeping willow stick. Holding red-stained hands under graffiti-shaped heart. Held together with love's mortar that will never come apart. Smudged initials covered by a torn obscure flyer. Just another metaphor for drowning in the city's stinking mire. The wail of police sirens fills the night with a lullaby. We huddled together, inhaling the fumes with a deep sigh. Gazing at the artwork, glistening in the street lights. Telling the story of inner city love under the hue of the satellites. Let's sign our names upon the heart of the concrete jungle. From the cover of our makeshift tartan bundle. Snuggling up together with scattered spray cans, we fall into blissful sleep with dreams of future plans. End poem.
Oh, I was just delighted in how he took that prompt. The prompt is number 41. I have so many prompts. And it's graffiti on the wall, and he just took everything that was in that like that pop art graffiti there, and he used such amazing metaphors and lines to just display that art, you know, and make it come to life there. And one line that really Well, some lines that really scout to me, some crazy nonsense, a false promise is engraved in brick, beating a dead horse with a whipping willow stick, and then smudged initials covered by a torn obscure flyer. Just another metaphor for drowning in the city's stinking mire. I was just like blown away with this write. It was just so fantastic, Phil. Just bravo. And Laurent, what did you think of this write? Is Laurent on mute?
Damn it. I know, three strikes and you're out, right?
I won't put you out.
I thought this was graffiti of the heart on a canvas of brick. Enormously careful detailing really added to the strength of the imagery all the way through. Very skillful and well written.
Oh, indeed. I just love this write by Phil there. One of the best ones that I've written, that I've read by him, really. I just was just amazed. Is Martha back? Did Martha get back or no?
Nope.
No? Okay. Well, Jean, what do you think of the Phil's write?
I thought this was a great reflection of the chosen prompt, and I thought it was excellent work. I looked at the stanzas, and I said, the wail of police sirens fills the night with a lullaby. We huddle together, inhaling the fumes with a deep sigh, gazing at the artwork, glistening in the streetlights. Telling the story of inner city life under the hue of satellite. You know, when you look at that prompt, I mean, I could piece this as just a real good representation of the image itself. So nice job, Phil. Really well done.
Yeah, indeed. And Pam?
Yeah, I really like the imagery in this all the way through. It's very strong. I like that he brings the city and the people in the city to life. And there's that whole idea of fading love and fading hope. And, you know, how oftentimes
the beauty of a city is found within the graffiti artwork, within the diversity of the people that make it up. So just an excellent write and very well done.
And yes, I agree. Amazing comments, everybody. And I'm going to put up the one by Ninkasi next. And Pam, if you want to give that a read.
Absolutely.
I hope you feel better, Martha. She just said, I got sick and had to leave. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is Waltz and Wall by Ninkasi. And it goes like this. Gastronomics on trembling graffiti, bulbous burger on trailing tongues, spludge hunger pings in color, swooning french fries in crisp frenzy, bulldozing intestines, brains, tangy sea breeze tantalizes the ketchup breath, revels in jacketing the ends, bobbing cafe nestles, and true Canada shivers in gab of lady noons. Lounge chair mocks, passerby grins ferociously. The boy is in awe. The color palette drips. End poem.
She has just fantastic wordplay all through this, eh? Like those stanza, tangy sea breeze tantalizes the ketchup breath, reveals in jacketing the ends, and in the bobbing cafe nestles. The lounge chair mocks. She has a alliteration throughout it, and just amazing wordplay. And she captures that prompt so vividly. Laurent, what did you think of this this write?
Poem. For me, it was the quality of the phrasing. And you already mentioned the tangy sea breeze. Any of these gastronomics on trembling graffiti, bulbous burger on trailing tongues, splodge hunger, pangs in color. It's almost newspeak in the way he handles this. But I thought he handled it very, very well. And it's definitely an enjoyable piece due to, at the very least, his ingenuity with words.
Yeah, the way she twists them around, the wordplay, it's just so clever and so brilliant. And Pam, you read that amazingly. What did you think?
Yeah, there definitely was some strong and clever imagery throughout this. I really liked Bobbing Cafe Nestles and True Canvas Shivers in Gab of Lady Noons. Wonderful lines there and just excellent write, very well done.
And Jean.
I have to say that the imagery in this was it was great imagery, like, throughout. A couple times where it kind of made me, like, a little squeamish, but it was good. It was well done. And I looked at the piece, and I thought it was really a great reflection of that prompt. You know, the frenzy, you know, the French fries, and, you know, just, you know, all is really there in the image. But yet at the same time, when you read this, this piece can stand alone. You know, it doesn't have to have that standing next to it to go, oh, yeah, I get it. You know, you can read it and take it for what it is and appreciate it. And, yeah, I think she did a great job with this. And then Ninkasi, I've never seen her work before, but it's a pleasure to see it. Nice job.
Yeah, well, she wrote for my last contest, too, I think. And, she really has a way to play with words there. It's just amazing just to see what she comes up with from one right to the next there. It's just so brilliant. So bravo. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put one up for Eugene to read by Julie Buck.
Okay. There we go. Okay, and this piece is called Marilyn by Julie Buck. Did you not have the world with your red-hot lips and platinum hair curled, swaying sexy hips? Did you not have the world with high-profile friends, trashy gossip hotly hurled, you caught in the crosswinds? Did you not have the world? Oh, how we so thought you did, as political stories unfurled about this sweet Hollywood kid. Did you not have the world? I believe you held the best part. Despite the drama that swirled, you never lost your good heart. End poem.
I thought this was a deep felt right on the unforgettable Marilyn, and the repetition of the you know, the question, did you not have the world? It has like a kind of sad melancholy to this right that reflects so well the life of Marilyn Monroe, you know. Just a fantastic piece. Bravo to Julie, and just a brilliant right. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is a brilliant write. It's just really has a strong emotional impact, especially when you repetitively ask the question, did you not have the world? And I really like that this pays tribute to Marilyn Monroe. My particular favorite lines are, as political stories unfurled about the sweet Hollywood kid, and despite the drama that swirled, you never lost your good heart. Wonderful lines there, and excellent write. Very well done.
And Laurent?
I agree with all the previous comments, so I'm not going to paraphrase what anyone else said. But I think this particular poem does an exceptional job asking the question, did you not have the world? I mean, we can imagine from the outside, thinking about Marilyn, what a wonderful life that she led. But this is not the first time this type of thing has happened to other people who gain fame because the heat of fame is a fire that burns very, very hot and can combust all your emotions quite easily. You begin to ask yourself questions. Why do people like me? Are they telling me the truth? I don't see myself this way. I see myself another way. And then to be bothered and written about. And when you're written about, it's not good, all good, and it's not bad, or all bad, but it's a mixture of both. And some of the things can be pretty vicious. And after a while, you don't have the privacy. You don't have your sense of self anymore. So what do? You begin to look at pills as an escape. You begin to look at alcohol as an escape. But, you know, I can't argue with that last line. Despite the drama that swirled, you've never lost your good heart. Absolutely. Wonderful little piece.
And I wonder about these celebrities sometimes, you know, like when they're such an icon like Marilyn was, you know, how much they are loved, truly loved for themselves, for what they are, like really are inside, and not just for all that they represent. You know, they must have they must always question that, you know, when they, if they try to have a relationship with somebody, you know, do you love me for who I really am or for just for the fame and everything? And Jean, what did you think? Hello, Jean?
She's been left speechless.
I have kept them dealing with you a little bit. I thought this was a great piece by Julie. I thought it was a great nod to Marilyn Monroe. And I thought it was just, it was just well done. I thought it was just a really, like I said, a nice nod to Marilyn. So nice work. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. And would you read the next poem for us, Laurent, by Tomahawk.
All right.
Oh, my cat. So I have it up.
Yep. Sunday in the Park with Al by Tomahawk. So there we were this one fine day. The great Al Einstein and me spending was what was a most idyllic Sunday afternoon in Central Park. We were just musing a bit over what were the various issues that be and got to discerning deep meanings and some levity as a lark. The many fascinating points of interest we addressed as such, the important things, physics, art, music, wine, women and song, to name just a handful. We never seemed to conjecture much, and on any one subject, we hardly needed to take very long. For here were two guys, it seemed, with the answers at hand. There was nothing that puzzled us at any great length at all. But when we got to life itself, the meaning as it was planned of Al, in the most thorough breath.
It's a one-seater.
I know. Told him that.
No, Grandma
you're,
said there's a one.
You know, you're not muted, Gene. You're not muted. And, you know, I find it hard to read when you're talking. So I'm going to pick it up at the beginning of the third stanza. But here were two guys, it seemed, with the answers at hand. There was nothing that puzzled us at any great length at all. But when we got to life itself, the meaning as it was planned, old Al, with a most furrowed brow, seemed oddly enough to stall. I asked him, Al, just what is it goes on in your mind right now? I never knew you to hesitate on any such matters of the day. He just kind of shrugged as to gather all his thoughts. After what seemed a long moment, this is what he had to say. Glenn, my boy, I must admit that I'm truly at an impasse on this subject, so widely scrutinized by oh so very many. The dynamic is clear, begs the question, do we dare trespass? How do we explain it? Do we really know the answers, if any? I looked at him a minute, the curse of glance, perplexed, and said, there must be a reason for all us being here. Man's role in the universe always made me kind of vexed. So what is your take, my friend? Is there a real solution here? We're both learned men of science, both PhDs have we, but the simple things evade us. Math for me, love for you, but you'd rather be with a lady than an old codger like me. However, shouldn't discuss this and somehow muddle through. Al, you're right, of course. No one's looking for me right now. So stay here, I will, and we'll reason together and solve this case. Examine every aspect, the who, what, when, where, and how, and when it happens, and solve it all. A Nobel Prize will chase. Len, it's not quite as simple as all that, don't you see? Deductive reasoning, as we know it, could sometimes be a curse. Lose track of all else, facing a challenge, you and me. Let's face it, my boy, God does not play dice with the universe. I pondered on his statement, and I knew that he must be right. But it would take years of empirical study and logic just to start. Oh, yeah. We could be slaving over this theory day and night and not get any closer to this conundrum at all for our part. And so we decided to table our theory of life for this afternoon and go back to more important things like girl watching here Sunday in the park for the Owl is a trip. And yes, we'll be back soon. And after we finish up here, we'll go enjoy some Bavarian beer.
And on. I thought this was such a brilliant, like, amazingly unique and clever, you know, using that prompt with Albert Einstein there. The way he talks, you know, he calls him Al. And the dialogue is so brilliantly composed. It's so realistic, And the ending stanza there when they just say, you know, let's go back to girl watching, you know, that's the important things like girl watching. Yeah, it's just, and it was very, it was deep and thought-provoking all throughout. So I had just a wonderful job here. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a clever and humorous tale. I like how he has it, the idea of himself and Albert Einstein, you know, taking a walk, having a conversation, you know, that whole idea of reflecting on life and love and science. I like that he throws in some of the Albert Einstein quotes. Really just an excellent write all the way through and definitely a smile-inducing ending. Very well done.
And Laura, you read that so amazingly. What did you think? Pick it apart.
Well, I'm not going to pick it apart. It stands way too solid for that. Because what Tomahawk demonstrated very ably on that minute is that when two people get together, whether it be for a beer, for a walk, etc., and when the moment arrives, if they wax philosophic, why, I find that Al's conversation with his friend is pretty much the same conversation a couple of bricklayers might have after a few pumps, what they might want to talk about, how they arrive at conclusions, discussing the mystery of life, and I like that a great deal.
Now, wouldn't it be amazing to be able to go back and to talk to some of these famous, you know, these people there?
Yeah, we might be delighted. We might be delighted, but we also might get quite surprised. Some of the most famous people
yeah.
in the world have known to be very banal and rude.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I wonder who I'd choose, but... Yeah, and it would be fun to see their how they see life as it is today compared to when, you know, they were alive way back then, you know, the technology and especially Albert Einstein, what he'd have to say. I wonder what he'd, you know, but where the humankind has taken the world would be interesting or not.
Or Mr. Einstein got in big trouble for chasing skirts.
Oh, he did. I didn't know that. Oh. And Jean, what did you think?
Jean had to step away.
Okay. So I already asked you to comment, eh, Pam?
Yeah.
I did, eh? Yeah, I did. Okay, so I wonder, is Jean there to, if I put on a SoundCloud, will that be able to work or...
Yeah, even if she can't push play, I can.
Oh, okay. So I'll put on, here, I'll pop it in, by Diane D. Champagne Choir.
Champagne Choir by Diane D. Flip, flop. Shades of white, yellow, and pink. Distill fruit, floral, and wooded aromas of subtle, delicate, and dynamic scents. The first whiff of champagne is the overture to a harmonious opera. Chilled before serving, a cappella wood chips. Babish. Send that cork. soaring through the air and make it rain bubbles like they do in TikTok videos. Crystalline clarity with a frothy tipple, sparkling pearls of salvation. Bubbles burst, pop, hiss, chatter, babble, whisper, then fade like the stirring of leaves in the breeze. Endlessly fascinating, they rise, unfading to the surface, and collect in a clustered ring to form the cordon. Bubbles that shatter into slivers of gold whiz through the liquid like shooting stars. Effervescence whooshes into the slightly tilted tulip-shaped flutes, pleasantly sparkling, seductive, and velvety. A lingering odor causes you to meditate silently long after you put down your glass. Like musicians in a philharmonic orchestra, blue effervescent frost beads thrum, crackle, buzz, fizzle, a hollow ball of soap-like liquid floats in the air before standing on a surface. The palate oozes symphonious pip-tinkles of liquidy blue globules, tickling the tip of the tongue, then lubricating down the sides, sending the mouth exploding into confetti. Slip, slop. Slip, slurp, burp. Cheers. End poem.
Oh, I said, oh, cheers indeed. What a fantastic, bubbly, awesome write. Like, she just took that champagne and she just went on a roll here. This is just amazing right here. And the way she did that pop sound, I don't know how she did that, but that's amazing in that SoundCloud. And she has the lines in here. The palate oozes symphonious tip tinkles of liquidy blue globules, tickling the tip of the tongue, then lubricating down the side, sending the mouth exploding into confetti. I just love that. And, you know, all through it, it just wants you to go and leaves you with the need to go almost and get a glass of champagne and just swallow it down. This is just a great write. And Laura, what did you think of this write?
I thought that the poet cleverly mined the pop and the fizz, the iconic energy of champagne, drowning our senses in the effervescence of this delicious and heady beverage. Very well done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Eh? And Pam?
Yeah, this is a wonderful write. Great imagery. I really like how she has the sounds of the pop, crackle, buzz, sizzle, the bubbles burst, pop, hiss, chatter. You know, it really just celebrates the sounds and, you know, just really clever all the way through and very well done.
Yeah. She did an awesome job with this one. And Jean, is Jean there? Is Jean back?
I think I'm back.
Yeah.
I think it was a really well done piece. And I thought she used the sounds cleverly throughout, you know, to get her point across. And I keep trying to figure out, I never remember the name of it, but the poetry form, Ama Nama Nama Nam, has a lot of those sounds involved in it. So it was well done. Great piece. I can never think of it, so I'm not going to pretend. but yeah, so great job, Diana D.
Yeah. Okay, Laura, I have your piece up. I just looked at the time and, woo, it passed by quickly. So go ahead and give it a read.
Yeah, in the same way that pop art gave us a new look at art, I thought that I should try for something, and I went for a new look at time, yet still use the prompt, people fall in love in mysterious ways. This is called Time Enough for Love. The second that was, the second that is, the second approaching, each one departing almost instantly into the past, never present for long enough to make the matter worthwhile. We have to stitch them together for hours or days to achieve the smallest results. Pesky things, always skittering by. No end to them either. Well, 86,000 or 100 of the buggers in a day, to be precise. Time's infinity, the six-year-old said. She writes. Amazing thing is, it takes only one of the beasties to change your life. Copper-headed beauty catches your eye with a smile. You hesitate for a second. Boom. Gone in the swirl of the crowd. Now, what good was that second? One moment of inattention. New car rams a bridge above me at speed. Reality assumes a new form. None of it pleasant. Another lousy second. I prefer hours, a solid block of minutes, and screw the seconds. Enough reaction time to avoid an accident due to the idiot stopped on the throughway. Time to work up my courage and hit that gal with a witticism. Time to smile and show her my interest. Time enough for love, anyway. End poem.
I just love this, right? I love the it's full of wittiness all throughout. The way you compare the second, you know, and you say, you know, screw that second. I want to have those minutes, you know, those minutes. And then you end it with time enough for love anyway. This was a great, so great. And I don't know why. I thought it had, like, kind of a musicality to it. I don't know if it made me think of a love song, lyrics to a love song or something. But, I just enjoyed it. This was delightful, this, right? And it made you think, too, you know. It's so true. Sometimes we lose those precious, you know, we just have those precious seconds and we want to have more time, you know. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I think this is a wonderful write on, you know, attraction and love and how our life can change in just a split second of catching someone's eye. Just a really great imagery all the way through, Lawrence, and very well done.
Mm-hmm. And Jean?
Well, Ron, I think that this is a great piece, and I think that you did a wonderful job with the thoughts throughout. I loved how you were talking about it. How little it really is, and how it does.
Thank you.
You want to fill in it? You're welcome.
Okay. We are kind of fading out. Jean, I don't know. So we only have a minute left, so I want to thank everybody for writing, and Laurent for sticking by us, and for your such amazing comments, and Tom for phoning in, of course, and Martha, I hope you get better, and Kel, too, hope you're feeling better. And thank you, girls, so much for everything.
Great prompts, Naomi. Nice show.
Yeah, I had a lot in, but I'm looking forward to the poems we'll have from Pam, the fruit baskets. That's an awesome idea there. So cool.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
What's that? So we'll have a few carryovers there. I'll collect them together, see how many we have, and have it on the next show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Well, let us know.
Yeah. So good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow night for The Art of Seduction. There's no After Midnight show tonight. And talk soon.
Okay.
Everybody have a wonderful night. Talk
okay.
To you soon.
Okay. Bye, everybody.